2013. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the sunny but cold suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today on RBN for people who can handle the truth. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup for this program, please visit spingola.com. Click on the radio schedule button, then the appropriate month. Follow some of the interesting links, usually associated with or somewhat compatible with the ideas of the guest for that day. Alternatively, they may relate to a specific piece of legislation or event that may be of interest. Today I have a very interesting link. It is about, it is called CIA Admits Full Monitoring of Facebook and Other Social Networks. And I would presume that this would include chat rooms and other forums. So anyway, it's a very interesting article, and I highly recommend that you read it. Brenda, one of our listeners, alerted me to this article. I try to have a variety of guests on the program who present alternative ideas because RBN listeners recognize that our educational system is wholly inadequate and prejudicial and designed to dumb down the population. People who listen to RBN understand that deep-pocketed special interests control the corporate media and the government. I'm relatively tolerant and like to hear every aspect of a given issue. That tolerance, however, does not imply acceptance or endorsement of everything that a guest may present. During the program, email your questions or comments to spingola1@yahoo.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Larry Engel. His name is E-N-G-E-L. There are a couple of different websites that he posts his articles on. One of them is guerrillamedia.co.nz. And when you go to that website, just put his name in the search engine, Engel, E-N-G-E-L, and you will come up with a list of his articles. And one of them that he just recently posted about a week ago has to do with the Super Bowl, and or the Supernatural Bowl, or the Stupor Bowl, or the Supernatural Stupor Bowl. I guess there are several ways that you could designate that yearly event. I guess it's yearly. I don't actually pay any attention to them. Welcome to the program, Larry.
Hello, Deanna. It's wonderful to be on your great news source.
Well, thank you so much for agreeing to be on. I get your emails, and I read this article, and I thought, holy cow. My friends told me, I didn't actually see Beyonce doing her presentation, but I heard enough about it that your article was very intriguing. And so I thought, well, let's get Larry on the program and go through some of the things that you have discovered, some of your conclusions. And they're very interesting, very compelling. So I think that our listeners will find them very interesting. I watched a short video this morning on Beyonce, and I was going to post it on today's schedule page, but it was just too disturbing. Anyway, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors with our guest today, Larry Engel. Stay tuned. Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Larry Engel. That's E-N-G-E-L, and you can find his work at guerrillamedia.co.nz for New Zealand. Okay, Larry, you mentioned that this yearly event is really or might be a satanic ritual, and satanic rituals usually, well, from what I gained from your article, usually involve some sort of sacrifice of an individual. So take her away. Tell us what you want us to know.
Well, I became interested in this in the Super Bowl last year because of the murder of Whitney Houston. And, of course, there's always a doublespeak when satanic cults commit murder. They have the official version, and then they have the version they want to stick in your face and I guess, scare you and make sure you know that they did it. And so I predicted, because I had looked at the and studied, became interested in Whitney Houston's murder, I was able to discover what was happening at the Super Bowl. And I projected, the article that you saw was the second article. The first article was came at least a month before the Super Bowl and predicted the murder of a Christian who would have some association with fame for the halftime satanic ritual murder. And so that's what that was about. And it's... I know it's shocking, but if I can predict it, I predicted it 6 weeks ahead, and it was about 2 weeks later. I just said, well, I should post this article. And I posted four predictions in relative to the Super Bowl on this issue in that article. And that article was printed almost a month before the Super Bowl. And what I predicted was that Super Bowl halftime shows are satanic rituals and their MK Ultra mind control exercises. The second thing I predicted, that there would be a Christian of some fame that would be murdered as a human sacrifice, because they do that with the satanic rituals of great importance. And that is also true if you're familiar with Bohemian Grove. That's also done there. I predicted the outcome of the game, not only the game, before even the playoffs. I predicted that the Ravens would defeat the Patriots and then go on to the Super Bowl to defeat the 49ers. What's interesting about that prediction is I didn't do it like a sports guy. I just said, well, which image makes the darkest impression on the audience's mind? And I said, well, the Raven seems like the bird that always comes dressed for the funeral.
That reminds me, Larry, about Edgar Allan Poe. And that the Raven was one of my favorite. In fact, I think when I was a kid that I committed it to memory. I must have been a dark kid because he was kind of a dark writer, but definitely the Raven against the Patriots.
Yeah, Poe was a very skilled professional writer, and he found kind of a genre that would attract audiences. And you know, some people tried to say he was crazy and that he was personally involved in all these dark things, but I don't think so. I think he was just he was a professional and found a way to attract people's attention. And the fact that you would memorize that poem, I don't think the Raven is presented quite as dark in there as it is in movies and other places.
And right.
So you don't have to worry about it. You're okay.
Well, okay, now there are two people that know that.
Did the playoffs, the Ravens beat the Patriots. And those are the Constitution-loving Americans, New England Patriots. So that's a positive image, whereas the Raven is a negative image. And before that led them into the Super Bowl, and then they beat the 49ers, who were the 1849ers, frontier pioneer gold discoverers in California. So there's two positive images, but the MK Ultra wanted to place into your mind a fear and a sexual relationship. And because they had that huge audience of the Super Bowl, they could not resist targeting that. And of course, I became aware of that last year when Whitney Houston was murdered. And I'm saying it was a murder. Of course, the prostitutes don't say that. But
right.
I investigated it. So I just said, "Wow, it was a murder." Yeah, and so, but so I predicted
the. It happened. I want you to tell us about this this Lucifer Imolk.
Okay, yeah, that, I think that's very important because the halftime show is it's Imolk or it's Imblock. Well, let's spell it so people can look it up on the internet or in encyclopedia. It's Imbolc. Now, sometimes we've come face to face with that, and they call it Groundhog's Day, but it is the most sacred of satanic Luciferian cult holidays. And what's important about it is it's the time when the Earth in its orbit, going around the sun, it reaches halfway between the winter equinox, I mean the winter solstice, and the summer equinox. And at that time, you can, if say you, this is just kind of an example. If the sun came up at 7 in the morning and then went down at 6:30, why, that would be before this Imolk. But if it came up at 7 in the morning and went down after 7, like 7:30 or 8:30, then that would mean that the sun was up longer than the darkness. And that's the return of Lucifer, the satanic cult's god, to power. And so that's what the Imolk is celebrating.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I suppose so. Yes, of course. I mean, it's a holiday. It's a satanic holiday, and it happens around the first part of February, and that's when they have their little holiday. But there are some people that really don't understand or haven't even thought about how Whitney Houston died. And, of course, a lot of people really loved her, felt bad for the way that she had just descended into from this wonderful musician to a drug addict. And it was terrible.
Wrong.
Okay.
Public media lie. Whitney Houston was not a drug addict. Whitney Houston had emphysema.
Okay.
So that's what led me into believing she was murdered, because I investigated and found she suffered greatly from emphysema, and she had to stop one of her performances, and the press said, "Oh, Whitney Houston was high on drugs and she couldn't do her performance. She had to quit this performance." Well, no. She had an emphysema attack during the performance. Another time they showed her. Yeah, go on.
I did see her interviewed where she didn't seem to be quite with it mentally.
Oh, and that's a characteristic of emphysema. And she also admits that as a medical prescription, and a lot of people would agree with this, that she used a marijuana cigarette, and she would put high-quality medical cocaine into that cigarette and smoke it, and that was her medical thing. So we're not saying that she was absolutely pure, but her family members say that she was not a drug addict, and all the things that the press shows that says she is related to emphysema. And I guess it was Burnside or Bernstein, the detective, the Beverly Hills detective who came onto the murder scene to investigate, said there were no alcohol and no drugs on the murder scene. There were some prescriptions
yes.
that were normal.
And she died in the bathtub at her hotel?
She died at the bathtub at her hotel, supposedly because she was overdosed. But from my point of view, somebody held her head under the water. And if you think of the water in the satanic ritual, the water is the birth, represents birth, and that's the return of Lucifer at this time of year.
Yikes. All righty. Now, I did watch I guess it was last year when Madonna was dressed up like Lucifer and did this the halftime presentation, and it was horrible, absolutely terrible. In fact, one of my guests had this had it on his website, and I thought, what in heaven's name does this guy have this on his website, and why is he promoting Madonna? But that's beside the point. But one of our chatters wants to know if you saw the Masonic symbolism in the Super Bowl, the power outage, and you know, all the other things, the dark and the light, as symbolic. And so those are questions we want to get to when we come back. We are going to a quick 3-minute break. Be right back. Welcome back. This is Deanna. And my guest today is Larry Engel, E-N-G-E-L. And you can read his things, his articles, at guerrillamedia.co.nz. And that's G-U-E-R-I-L-L-A. Not like in the big chimpanzee or something.
like the shooters, not like the animal.
Right.
Those are two kind of gorillas. You got an email and ask, and let me answer that in part by telling you what my four predictions were before they occurred. I predicted that the Super Bowl halftime show would be a satanic ritual. I predicted that there would be a human sacrifice that had to, absolutely must be associated with that event. I predicted the Ravens would win because of the dark image. We talked about that. The last one is the hardest to explain, and that is I predicted there would be some act by the officials, and I believe I said it would influence the outcome of the game, but what I meant more, or as I was trying to think it through, because this kind of predicting, as you get more information, you can understand it better. The I predicted that there's a relationship between the officials and the players. There's a relationship between the players and the audience, and there's a relationship between the audience and the officials. And I'm saying the relationship between the audience and the official, there would be something very disturbing to the audience that the officials would be involved in. And that's what I predicted that long before the actual Super Bowl. And when I make these four predictions that I made have to be large and they have to be in your face. Well, the person mentioned that the lights went out in the Super Bowl, and that was the event that I had predicted ahead of time. And and Beyonce has kind of a poster. If you go on the web and look at her pictures, there's a if you look at enough of them, you'll ultimately come to a picture, and she's holding that triangle Masonic pyramid symbol in this photograph, and she is behind her, kind of like on the poster, it says Beyonce has power, and then something else which I kind of forgot for the moment. But that's very interesting that that's there, because there was some denial that that was a Masonic symbol. And yet, if you've got a history of doing that symbol and calling it a Masonic symbol. And so she did that very much in your face. In other words, when I made a prediction, I said it would be in your face, and this prediction of this Masonic symbol, right in your face, where she's holding her finger up as a triangle, that was exploded in the press and talked about in the press. And, of course, that's part of it. That's part of the ritual. And then... shortly after that, after her program's over, the lights go out for exactly 33 minutes. If anybody knows anything about the Masons and satanic cults, they know the number 33 is a very significant number. And if you're into the Masonic Lodge, if you're a member up until 32, they don't tell you that it's a religion and that the religion that the Masons worship is Lucifer. They're held in the dark. There's an inner circle and an outer circle. Once you become a 33rd degree Mason, they inform you that you are now a member of a satanic cult and Lucifer is your god. And if you want to prove that, you can read Albert Mackey, Albert Pike, A.J. Waite, or Manly P. Hall, or the major satan, or the major Masonic writers, and they will confirm that for you. Right. So there's a, I call it a red masonry. That's the top. They know what's going on. They're satanic. There's the orange masonry where the guys are. They know what's going on, but and they're they're the workers, the technocrats, the busy bees. And then there's the Blue Lodge, the first 3 degrees and on up to 32nd degree, in which they have different degrees of not knowing and deliberately being held out of the information. So when Beyonce does that symbol, and then immediately afterwards the lights go out for 33 minutes, that was what I predicted that would be the relationship between the officials and the audience. That should have.
When people say that this is total nonsense and just a coincidence, how do you counter that kind of criticism?
Well, I don't. Let me say this about myself. I observe. I use intuition, and I use opinion. Okay, I'm not documenting necessarily, although I gave you some documentation. And I don't, but I don't make a big a deal of evidence and documentation. But the thing is that one thing they're going to have trouble escaping at this point of time is that I predicted 4 major things that are in your face before the Super Bowl, at least 6 weeks before, and I published them about a month before. So that's something that's a little bit hard to deal with.
Sure. Now, it's very interesting that, and I'm just, I used to listen to Whitney Houston. We're going to a break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes. She was one of my favorite singers. She had just a great voice. Be right back. All righty, well, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Larry Engel. That's E-N-G-E-L. You can read his articles at gorillamedia.co.nz. It is linked on today's radio schedule page. And we were talking about Whitney Houston, and I mentioned that I really liked her music. She had a fabulous voice. It just made goosebumps up here. And then I thought about the movie that she starred in, excuse me, 1992 with Kevin Costner called The Bodyguard. And I thought, somebody wasn't on duty the day that she was, or the night that she was killed, or the night that she died.
Yeah, Whitney Houston, I'm also a great fan of hers, and she sang the Star Spangled Banner, and I was just dazzled by that. I thought that was absolutely fantastic. I think there's a question you asked just a little bit before that, and I might address both at the same time. Whitney Houston murder and the satanic ritual and all that is what awakened me to the 4 points that I predicted. And so if somebody is not sure that I'm, you know, telling you the truth or something like that, those 4 points that I pointed out that I predicted ahead of time for the Super Bowl, I took out of the Whitney Houston version of the Super Bowl last year. And I'm also projecting that the same 4 things will be happening in the next one, which is 2014, and probably the next one, 2015. And so what I'm suggesting is if your audience can understand how I'm making these predictions, I don't have a crystal ball. I'm not a psychic. I'm just watching what happened in 2012, the Super Bowl, and saying they're going to repeat the same thing over and over again. Of course, it varies. It's not
okay,
exactly
what are those 4 points?
Oh, that I said it would be the halftime show would be a satanic ritual. Uh-huh. There would be a human sacrifice. I predicted the team that would win would be the dark image, the mascot on the field, the one that, you know, most people don't know it's the Baltimore Ravens. They just know it's the Ravens. And so that's very important to MK Ultra mind control people, those symbols of the players on the field. And the last thing I said there would be some sort of an official relationship between the officials and the audience that would be very disturbing to the audience, that would make the audience feel very unsettled.
And that was the power outage?
And that was the power outage, yes, and 33 minutes of it. And the idea that the players would become uncomfortable and stiff, and they couldn't get back into the routine, and that would change the outcome of the game. Some of my friends said that happened. I wasn't so sure about that affecting the outcome of the players, but I do know it changed the mindset, made people very uncomfortable. They go to a game to see great players play each other. They think the best teams go to win, and then something from out of the blue strikes that relationship, and people become insecure about even a great event like the Super Bowl that's sort of out of control, you know.
Right.
That's the MK Ultra.
Okay.
Mind bomb.
We've talked a little bit about the Masonic symbolism in the Super Bowl, and you've mentioned that you think that Whitney Houston was murdered, and that you investigated it. Okay, tell us about, and you also mentioned, or maybe I just got this from this short video that I watched, Beyonce says
yes.
That a different person takes over her body at times, and she also claims to be a Christian. And in that movie, the narrator was saying that she seems to be, her neck was kind of looking really weird. And I don't buy into the David Icke shape-shifting kind of thing. And that was kind of where this was going. I like to keep it kind of in terms where everybody can understand it. And you have mentioned the Kabbalah. You've mentioned Masonry. And, of course, that's basically Judaism. And anyway, tell us about the sacrifice that was made this year. Because I don't think that a lot of people, unless you want to continue to talk about Whitney Houston, and, you know, I don't want to
I think I need to talk a little bit more about Beyonce.
Okay.
Because she has a history, as you mentioned. I think you found that out from another source, but also I mentioned it. That she has a kind of a history of being involved in these dark things, and I mentioned the satanic, Masonic symbol. But she has a satanic posture, and she also has a satanic costume, and that has the Baphomet symbol. And that we need to know very much about, because that begins to reveal things to us. The Baphomet symbol, if you see the stars on our flag, it's a five-pointed star, but the point goes towards the top. The Baphomet symbol, the most powerful symbol of satanic worship, is that same five-pointed star, but the point goes to the bottom. And then they draw a face of that in which the bottom star is a beard, and then the top two points are the horns, and the two that go out to the sides are the ear, and that makes the goat face. Now, Beyonce, when she started the Super Bowl, made a strut down a long, long ramp towards us. And her walk, one foot across the other, is something that models frequently do. But the difference in this case was that she had her arms on her elbow, or her arms on her waist with her elbows pointing out. Now, you can go on the Internet and you can look at her black costume. There's a cleavage that goes all the way down fast below her belly button. And if you look closely at the stitching in that leather outfit, it forms a kind of a beard. It's just a design, but you can imagine it to be a beard down where near her private parts. Above her boobs are two points in that costume, which represent the horns. And when she struts towards you on the stage with her arms or her hands on her elbows, her hands on her hips, and her elbows protruding out, they look like the ears. So as she's marching down this long ramp towards you, she's coming face to face with you with the Baphomet, the most powerful satanic symbol there is. And she has a costume you can find on some of her pictures where they actually have the ghost, the goat face on her costume with above her, part of her chest and her stomach is a goat face. And then kind of coming off her shoulders are the horns and that sort of thing. And also, as you mentioned, she is demon-possessed. She has a multiple personality. The other person is called Sasha Fierce. What a name, Sasha Fierce. And that is a demonic person. That's an evil person. That's the way she presents it. And that's an interview. You can see interviews, just kind of press interviews, and she'll tell you about it. But MKUltra, would they create a victim that's mind-controlled like President Obama, a Manchurian candidate? When they create one of those, they split the mind. The mind is split, becomes multiple personalities, and they control the two minds. And they do that with sex, and they do that with fear. If you're afraid of snakes, they dump snakes on you. If you're afraid of heights, they put you on great heights until your mind splits. And they do this to children. They get out of foundling homes, and then they're used as prostitutes in the White House, as Ted Gunderson reported in the Franklin cover-up. So that's a good point, huh? So yes. Beyonce has a long history of being very satanic.
What's the name of her husband's radio or his music company?
Sorry, don't know. Don't care that much. I never heard of Beyonce until she performed at the Super Bowl. That was part of the difficulty of my prediction. I said, who's going to be in the Super Bowl this year? And so I said, Beyonce. And who's that? So I came to know all this sort of after I found out who was going to do the Super Bowl. But my prediction still came out because it was a satanic ritual. Oh, and another thing, she sings with a trio. We got to cover this. This is important. She sings with a trio. They're called Destiny's Child. Okay? Lucifer is supposed to have three daughters, and they have names. And these three, this trio is symbolic of that. Also, there was a sign or a symbol behind her performance with two faces facing each other with a space in the middle. I think that was symbolically representing Lucifer's Bridge. That's what they call it. They call it Lucifer's Bridge. And if you cross that bridge, you lose your soul. That's part of their religion. That's not part of mine or yours or your audience's, but that's part of these people's religion. And let's see, there was something else that I'll come back to it because I forgot what I was trying to thought. It was something very important about it. But those are some of the others. Oh, I know what it is. The song that she sang, which, of course, you couldn't help tell what the words were the way they presented it in the Super Bowl, was kind of sloppy. But if you go on the web and read the lyrics of the song, it represents a nuclear winter. And you can see the fire coming up. At one point, there's a red background behind her, like the whole city's on fire. There are rockets taking off. You see rockets actually taking off. And so that's like they're presenting to the audience a nuclear winter, how you would experience a nuclear attack. And I think that's the MK Ultra mind control. These guys could go past your conscious mind with fear and sex and go into your subconscious mind. And they had millions of minds trapped into that satanic ritual because they were watching the Super Bowl.
Oh, yes. That is a really big, the most significant thing to me is the fact that you have this idol worship. And, you know, who are they worshiping? Are they worshiping the football players? Are they worshiping the people at halftime? Just who are they worshiping? And one of the ladies in the chat room reminded me that the record label for Beyonce's husband is called Rock-A-Fella records, which I find kind of interesting.
But you know, your audience is so helpful. This is why I love to listen to your program, is because, you know, if there's something left out or something we don't know, the audience is right there with you.
Exactly. They're very bright, very brilliant group of people. You can't fool them.
Yeah, I think our next step then is to go to the most terrifying part of this prediction.
Okay, let me bring up one more point.
Yeah.
Is that the entire music industry has always been dominated by the Jews. And of course, they also promote masonry. And when you look at the history of the music industry in this country, and I was thinking back, trying to evaluate it, and first you had what was it, the Mickey Mouse Club, and then pretty soon the Mickey Mouse Club, turned into American Bandstand, and then you have American Idol, and all these other things. And I admit that I did get a lot of this just in looking at some of the things on the internet this morning. But my goodness, when you look into the study of this, and I did take your advice, and I searched for the IMOLC, and it opened up a whole lot of things that I had never thought about.
It's there. It's for real.
Well, you don't know what you don't know until somebody alerts you to the fact. Okay, so let's get down to the really bizarre sacrifice for this year.
Yes, it's easy to not believe it, but I think I can make it convincing. And I predicted it would be a Christian and they would be famous. It didn't quite, that's the way it came out with Whitney Houston, because she was previously famous. But this little girl, Hydea Pendleton, was not famous. And she was among hundreds and hundreds of young high schoolers that participated in the president's inauguration. And I might mention before too, last year the Grammys were very much a part of the whole ritual. This year the Grammys were absolutely not part of it, but the inauguration was. And Beyoncé sang. It's very strange. It seems to me very, very strange. Beyoncé sings at the inauguration of the president, then go does this satanic ritual at the Super Bowl. I can't separate.
Yes, the connection is bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, I can't separate that. For some reason, that just startles me. So then when this young girl who is, I think, falsely stated in the press that she sang at the inauguration. She was with a group of drill majors, a drill team that participated with many, many other drill teams. And I have not ever been able to find anything of her performance. I saw a kind of a photograph of her drill team, but I didn't see anything of her performance. So they're saying she sang at the inauguration. Well, no, I don't think that was it. She did sing there because she was part of the group, and the whole group was singing, so all the kids were singing. So, but something singles her out. And what is startling is this totally unknown person who shot in Chicago in a gang shoot. Well, that's reported in the press of the gang shoot. Now, this is very important. This is very important for everybody. Whenever the satanic cults murder someone, there is a double speak. They want you to know, they want to shove it in your face that this is a satanic ritual, and they did it. But at the same time, they don't want to go to jail or have anything like that. So there's always a second explanation. In this case, there's a very weak, muffy kind of explanation. And that explanation is that it's a gang shooting. Are we still connected?
Yes, we are. But we are going to a break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
We'll talk more about that when we come back.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Larry Engel. His name is spelled E-N-G-E-L. His articles are posted at guerrillamedia.co.nz. All righty. We were talking about...
Talking about Hydea Pendleton. I'll stop for a minute. You can talk.
No, go ahead and tell us about this girl. She was part of the drill team. She was part of the cheerleaders, a group of school cheerleaders, and they were at the 2013 Obama inauguration, which was, I don't know when, because I really didn't watch it. I can't stand to watch
things
like that.
I didn't either. I couldn't stand it either. And maybe some of your listeners can find some more symbolic satanic symbols in the inauguration, because I just couldn't stand to watch it. But anyway, we know about Whitney Houston, that she was one of the world's great gospel singers, and that she was famous. Well, this little girl, it's even kind of more startling in a way, she was not famous, but she was a Christian and attended her church and had a big smile and a very positive Christian kind of attitude. And she was shot down in a park. A guy came, they said a kid, I'm not sure. But a guy came up and he shot her and killed her, and he also shot another boy in the leg. Well, from my point of view, and you know, you can take the. It said this is the double speak. It's set up for a double speak. They're going to tell you that's a gang shooting gone weird. But the fact is, the boy that was shot could not be part of the sacrifice. If he had been killed instead of shot in the leg, it would have interfered with the power of the human sacrifice. So the girl alone had to be the one that was murdered. And the thing is that she's not famous. She's just one of the schoolgirls at the inauguration. So in order to fit the prescription, somehow she has to become famous. And that's what's even more startling about it. You have the Michelle Obama, the first lady, attend her funeral. You have a four-color brochure that's printed up, and it has a statement in it from the President of the United States. You have the mayor of Chicago and the governor attending this funeral, and she becomes famous all over the world. At her funeral. And the funeral is a big part of the ritual, too, by the way. And when we hit Whitney Houston, it was a big part of the ritual, too. And that's some stuff of a very startling that you can prove about that, too.
Right. And, now, I live in the Chicago suburbs, and children are shot all the time. And we barely ever hear about them. Once in a while we do. But Chicago, the South Side, is pretty violent. And as I said, people are shot there all the time, and I don't know that the First Lady and the mayor who else did you say? The governor?
The governor of state and other celebrities.
I don't think they ever attend any of these people's funerals.
There were 47. My understanding is there are 47 young people killed recently in gun shootings just like this. And you're right. They are never attended by all these famous people, and they don't become famous either.
Exactly. All righty. We are going to our 60-second top of the hour break. We will be right back after station ID. Welcome back. This is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola. And as I mentioned, I'm very tolerant, and I like to hear, I like to talk about controversial things and other issues. And that tolerance, of course, does not imply acceptance or endorsement of everything that a guest may utter. My guest today is Larry Engel. His articles are posted at guerrillamedia.co.nz. And this is very fascinating. We were talking about all of the, you said 47 children had been killed, and yet we don't have all of this, all of these world, influential big people attending their funerals.
Or the world publicity about it. And what did I say earlier about the double speak? Because they want to put this murder in your face, say, we did it, we're a satanic cult, we can commit murder right we're going to have a human sacrifice. We're going to do it right in your face, and we're going to do it all over the world, but we're not going to get caught. We're not going to be punished. And so what is it about the official story? Well, They was reporting the press that some police official. Some police official? What police official? What's his name? Who is he? The press don't tell us. But the police official said, this is kind of like all the gang shootings. That people just get collateral damage. People just get accidentally shot in all these gang shootings. But we don't know who said that. The other thing is, we don't have a killer. You can't have a killer in a satanic ritual. You have an implication that's something called a gang. Well, what's the name of the gang? Where do they live? What did they do? Who are they? Well, they have names. There's also a killer. Do we know the name of a killer? No, there's no killer. So that side of the official story, just like with the Houston, is all kind of mushy and quicksand that you don't get your feet into any real information. And at the same time, the satanic cult is saying, we did this. We're pushing it down your throat.
Yes, and I think that there are other people and other things that they've done, and this is very, very much like how they operate. They write books that they quote unquote, they write books telling us what they are going to do, how they're going to do it, and they don't realize that, they do realize that a lot of people simply don't read the books, and they just live off sound bites from TV or from the radio, and so they can get away with all of the stuff that they do. And my question is, who is behind the current resident in the White House and Rahm Emanuel and the governor? How did they happen to attend this funeral? Who suggested that they do this? I mean, that's a big question right there.
Who ordered them? And I don't think we can necessarily I could answer that in, you know, they're all globalists. You also have what you mentioned earlier. You know, most people in America think, when they think the word Jewish, they think of the people of the Old Testament. But
I don't think so. I think people are getting smart. They don't think of the people of the Old Testament.
Yeah, because there is a group who call themselves Jews who are physically not connected to the Middle East. They're Khazars, they're Ashkenazi. That they repudiate the Old Testament, they repudiate the Ten Commandments, and they follow something called the Kabbalah, and they follow the Talmud, and they follow the Zohar. And if you want to know more about what that group believes, you can read Elizabeth Dilling. Have you heard of Elizabeth Dilling?
I have her book. I do. In fact, I was just reading through it a couple of days ago, she did one about the record of Franklin D. Roosevelt. Okay, we have a 3-minute break. We'll be right back and we'll take your calls. Be right back. Oops. We are back. Our guest today is Larry Engel. This is Deanna. Larry's articles are posted at guerrillamedia.co.nz. And, we haven't talked about Michael Jackson yet. There's a lot of controversy over that. Did he just stop accommodating the global, what you refer to as globalists? And of course, we know who the globalists are. They are also called internationalists, and they are mainly in charge of homogenizing the rest of us, because most of us, or we should be, nationalist. And then we need to also look at Marilyn Monroe. But anyway. What are your thoughts on Michael Jackson?
I think he became too hot a property. I think he was the law was closing in on him, and he became worth more dead than alive. Michael Jackson imitators could go on selling his stuff and stuff like it, and without the big controversy of what Michael Jackson was involved in. So I just think he became more valuable dead than alive, and they removed him. And then
they blamed the doctor?
And they blamed the doctor. Well, yeah, they got to have a fall guy.
Okay.
Lee Harvey Oswald.
Sure. Well, we have a lot of guests or a lot of callers lining up. Did you want to complete some thoughts before we take some callers?
No, I think we covered it pretty well. The only thing is that we could look at the last Super Bowl with Whitney Houston, and you could see my four elements of prediction in there, and the four elements for this year's, and then project it to next year's because they're going to do it next year, and I'm saying they'll do it next year. So I'm predicting a ritual murder of a Christian associated with some kind of fame next year and the year after.
Yes. Well, it is very interesting. I have interviewed David McGowan several times, and he talked about the music industry and how a lot of these people were associated with the intelligence apparatus in this country, and that they basically program our children to adopt all of this music, to idolize these people. And honestly, if my children were of the age, if they were 12 and 13, 14, I would not allow them to watch these evil people. These people.
You know why they do this? You know why they do this? The music industry, you know why they do this?
Tell us.
Sell dope.
Huh.
It's a marketing thing. They can't advertise. They can't come out and run an ad and say, okay, buy some cocaine, get high, and become an addict. So they say, look at Whitney Houston. This is a lie about Whitney Houston. She's not a drug addict. And she said on television the press was lying about her. Mm-hmm. And so they say, look at Whitney Houston. She takes drugs. She's a drug addict. And you're a fan of Whitney Houston. Isn't she your hero? It's okay for her, and I'd be okay with you. And once the kids try it, they only have to try it. They mm-hmm. get hooked. It's an addiction.
Well, some of it is, sense. Absolutely.
So the whole thing about this music industry, it's a sales job. And I think you interviewed a guy not so long ago that said the CIA trained some of these bands. They brought in Hollywood stars to show how they would perform on the stage. And then he went and heard these bands and rehearsing in their garage, and these famous bands couldn't play what Doodly did.
Right.
And so all the music that you're hearing is done in the studio with old guys who are real professionals making real good sounds, and the guys up on the stage jumping around and the young guys have been trained by CIA. And the whole idea is to peddle drugs.
And also to peddle a particular culture, which is very demoralizing, and it does. Entertainment does affect the culture. All righty, let's take some callers.
Sure.
Let's take Chris in Las Vegas.
Why, good morning, Deanna and Mr. Larry Engel.
Chris, do I know you, Chris?
Not that I'm aware of, although we may have some spiritual connections, I'm guessing.
Well, I was a talk show host in Las Vegas with Rod Douglas and Teddy Gunderson.
Ah, well, I remember
You were associated with Ted Gunderson?
Yeah, I know you don't like Ted, but yeah, I was. I wasn't one of his insiders, but he was on our talk show a lot.
Okay.
He covered a lot of stuff.
That's okay.
You don't like Ted so much, right?
Well, I know some stuff about him that is very disturbing. He had a lot to do with David Hinkson going to jail. But look, that's a different topic altogether. So, anyway, Chris, your question.
Well, hopefully I can add some enlightened, inspired spiritual concepts to what you've been speaking of. Particularly, you've addressed MKUltra several times. I have an inspired interpretation that is suggesting M equals masters, and then it reads Cult of Ra.
Sounds right.
And so if we understand that many of the words that we use today have a deeper encoded or encrypted meaning within them, such as you've used Kabbalah, which would be an assembly of the worshippers of Baal, and you spoke of the 33-minute incremental lights out at the Super Bowl, as changing the momentum, well, the mo would be Moloch, and the mentum would be the action or the movements of Moloch, who is another one of their dark, satanic, pagan gods.
Absolutely. I'm not an expert on this end of the subject. But I have read some of these things, and the caller is telling you things that the Masons themselves and other satanic cults use to communicate between themselves.
Right.
Well, it's absolutely true, and what we're finding is that many of our commonly accepted and respected institutions have been co-opted or transmuted, changed into other forms that are being used for more evil purposes. Many of our churches have been, which are man churches, run by pagan men who are purporting to represent positive forces, are now converted to being instrumentalities of this corruptocratic government that's running this country, and many of the dark forces behind it that are influencing the masses through their podiums as spiritual representatives.
Could that be happening with the presidential inauguration?
Absolutely. This particular administration is not what it appears to be. It is many things. It is whatever is convenient to be posed to the masses so that they can perceive it to be what they choose it to be, while it really has a hidden hand or agenda behind it that is completing the concepts to con the people that they are truly working furiously for.
You know, Lyndon LaRouche came forward and made a very profound, strong statement that he wanted Obama impeached because he was mentally ill, and the mental illness that Obama had was he was mind-controlled. What about that?
Oh, that's interesting.
I mean, LaRouche is pretty, you know, he's just, LaRouche is one of these document and evidence guys, so if he says Obama's mind-controlled, he's got some stuff that he
Well, he also promotes Roosevelt as some kind of savior for the United States, so I don't believe everything that comes out of his mouth.
Oh, I don't believe in that at all. Roosevelt was a big con artist.
Exactly. All righty. Chris, did you have some other things to add?
Well, I think that's pretty good for today, but I thank you so much for having this guest on, and he's a marvelously intelligent and studied individual, and his observations about the blackbird having relationships that would reign supreme in this massive debacle and presentation of honor dark forces is certainly not one that missed some of our other out here's observations and conclusions pre-game also. So I thank you very much for choosing another wonderful and inspiring guest this morning.
All righty. Thank you, Chris.
I agree with him. I agree with him. I agree with him.
Okay. Now Nancy wants to know, is it your opinion that celebrities, especially females, have handlers who are sometimes their spouses, such as Beyonce's husband, Hazy, who is a Freemason? Who happens to be a Freemason?
I think the word that she ought to look up is called Svengali. Have you ever heard that word, Svengali?
No, yeah. And please, people, don't associate that word with my name.
No, it's not Svengola. No, definitely not.
I know, but we'll have. I'll get email about that.
Well, anyway, this is a kind of a thing that the Jews hate to be said, but the Svengali is a wandering Jew who searches around the world to find people he can exploit. And so Whitney Houston talked about dumping her Svengali, who was celebrating in the Grammy Awards underneath her body after she'd been murdered. So the Svengali is... Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, they even interviewed him. He said, well, Whitney Houston's dead now. He said all kind of nice things, but... He was actually having a drink and celebrating it. Her body stayed in the room, Whitney Houston's body stayed in the room 11 hours while the Grammy Awards were celebrated underneath.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
So, Nancy's correct. There's a connection there.
Sure. And we know that politicians also have handlers. All righty. Let's go to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back, and then we will take some other calls. Welcome back. This is Deanna and our Our guest today is Larry Engel. His articles are posted at guerrillamedia.co.nz. And just a couple of comments from email and one from the chat room is that somebody said, I have friends who knew Michael Jackson and family very well. They say that he was about to go on tour and expose the New World Order. I believe these friends. Someone else said, Michael Jackson had a huge collection of National Socialist films and enjoyed watching them. You can also listen to his voice on YouTube where he says, the Jews are doing it on purpose. And he went on to talk about the Illuminati and whatnot. But do you want to make a comment about that? And then we'll go ahead and take another caller.
Well, it's all tied into the power structure. You know, the thing that, when you allow people to buy $100 bills for 4 cents apiece, they're going to take over the world. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Federal Reserve can do. They can buy $100 bills for 4 cents. They can also create money by just typing computer entries in.
Sure.
And if you don't mind, I have my own website.
Oh, yes. Yes. Go ahead.
www.lincolnamendment.net. And I have written an amendment to the Constitution, and people might want to visit that. That's off subject right now. That would be a whole other broadcast sometime. But they could also check that out.
Sure. Thank you. Sorry I didn't bring that up. All right. Let's take somebody that refers to himself as a unit on the plantation.
Wow.
Welcome. Do we have him or her?
Hi.
Hi.
I have a story about California, and there's a ritual, satanic ritual killing that some people know about, most people consider it, in Altamont. And the Rolling Stones made a film about it called Give Me Shelter, and this happened in Altamont, California back in 1969. This was supposed to be the second Woodstock, and it was held at a racetrack in Altamont, California, and it was going to be like a Woodstock too, and they had the Hell's Angels in charge of security. And what happened? While the Rolling Stones were on stage, they were playing the song "Sympathy for the Devil." There was a young man that they stabbed to death. The Hell's Angels stabbed to death a young man right in front of the stage. Just stabbed him to death, and a lot of people consider that a satanic ritual killing. And it was supposed, I think, terminate the love and peace Woodstock generation. It was supposed to, just kill the love and peace movement, peace and love and Woodstock movement.
Right. And there was quite a large anti-war movement. And certainly the music industry came along or the people that run the music industry certainly altered the entire movement to something else.
So the things that I have found is that usually the human sacrifice in a satanic ritual is a Christian of some degree, strength of degree of being a Christian. And that there's usually a double speak. There's two explanations. One is they want you to know that they murdered this person as a satanic ritual. At the same time, they want to have another alternate explanation that the person was stabbed by somebody and that's usually kind of wishy-washy. In this case, he's saying they know the Hell's Angels stabbed him, or maybe that was just a suggestion that if in that case that fits in with a satanic ritual, that maybe the Hell's Angels knifed this guy. But those are things you want to look for in a satanic ritual, the doublespeak, the fact that the person's a Christian, and they're made famous by this. And those are three things I can point out. There may be others which I take up later, but right now.
And of course, by claiming that you're a Christian, you bring in all of these younger listeners, and they think it's okay, and their mother says, oh, yes, go ahead. And then incrementally, the so-called Christian turns out to be quite evil.
Well, I'm a Christian, but I don't really get into Christian churches because of the 501c3. I think when a church takes an income tax 501c3 deduction, that it becomes satanic.
Right, but what I'm saying is singers like Britney Spears. I think she was sold as a very nice young woman, and then all of a sudden she turns into something quite different. And by that time, she already had a lot of listeners and fans.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's a really good point. And all they got to do is get these kids to try these narcotics. They just experiment with them a little bit, and then they're hooked. And then they can.
Well, that, it's not even the narcotics. Look at the gyrations and all of the. I mean, those. It's embarrassing to watch these people. It is just absolutely embarrassing.
Well, the thing is, you know, I think what you're getting at, and you got at this before, is that when you have financial power, you have banking power, and you have a strong family unit, a strong moral country. That banking power is weakened. It can't have its influence. So when they degrade the morals and they turn the whole society upside down and attack the marriage, the sacred marriage ceremony, and all that kind of thing, that increases the power of the bankers.
All righty, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Our guest today is Larry Engel. His articles are posted at guerrillamedia.co.nz. Joe sent me an email. He said, one of the main objectives of the Jew World Order is to destroy Christianity. They have done this by turning most into Judeo-Christians. There are some, however, who don't fall into these machinations but need a belief system and are captured by the New Age movement, where you don't have to pray to God because you are a God. I have friends who are New Agers who consider themselves light workers. Who is the ultimate light worker but Lucifer? And then he said, do you see any connections or any thoughts about this? And I was thinking, think about the lights that these people use in their acts, and think about the lights going out at the Super Bowl.
And Diana, think about the New Age magazine. What was it called before it was called the New Age magazine?
I have no idea.
It was a Masonic magazine.
Oh. Interesting. And
well,
of course,
yeah, it's interesting. No, every Mason receives this publication, and it was the Masonic magazine, and then all of a sudden it became called the New Age magazine.
Well, see, I was not aware of that, but that's very interesting. And of course, I always associate the light worker with Lady Liberty, the Statue of Liberty, that was a Masonic gift to the United States after the successful culmination of the so-called Civil War, and that was created by Masons. And so, I cover that in my first book. Anyway, let's take another caller.
Sure.
Let's take Richard in Washington. Richard, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Let's take this program to the heights of truth. I've brought up the comparison of...
And are you going to do that for us, Richard?
I am. I'm going to piggyback on what Larry and Chris said and take it one step further. I brought out the program of changing from a tribal mentality to a herd mentality. The tribe has a spiritual oneness where the herd has to be involved in mind control. Because the difference is the tribal mentality, they can't kill one another. Humans can't kill each other. They can just posture like the gorilla and scare each other. They can't actually do any self-destruction. In a herd mentality, and that's the business model. These people that are running this show, the interbreeding sociopathic tribe, they're into population control and depopulation, and they've been perfecting this program since the Caesar's times, the Flavians. And this model has been perfected to a point where they have us programmed that we commit suicide and we kill each other as part of the depopulation control. Stanford Prison Experiment or the Milgram experiments, they know how to mind control us to get us to do the work, and they've created this Abrahamic religion thing of the three branches of the tribe. It's all total illusion. Satan was created at the same time. Free will. How do you control the people? As Larry pointed out, you get them to renege on all their immoral philosophy, and you get them into an amoral situation where they can complete their program. The program is on track. These people are smarter than we think, and they're running the show.
All right, your comments,
he's right.
Larry.
He's right. I agree totally. He's right. No, this has been going on. Actually, the banking thing that we're talking about, there's an author named William Stewart who has made a presentation. It shows that this banking thing has been highly skillfully practiced in 700 A.D. The model that if anyone really wants to understand what's happening to our country right now, you could look at the East India Company and the British East India Company and the Dutch East India Company, where the bankers control through loans all the corporations, and the corporations then control the government. And just as he's talking about the tribal, but, you know, we part of killing people and controlling the population and reducing the population is all part of the same agenda. Your caller is right on. He's just absolutely right on.
All righty. Well, thank you, Dick. Appreciate your call.
One last thing is that's it. If you study the history, that's why we have to learn from history, you'll see the same program being recycled over and over again. These people can't learn new techniques because they're working so well. What we have to do is be aware of the techniques. That's the only way we can bring this thing to an end, and that's our challenge as humans.
And that's how Larry Engel predicts the murder of a Super Bowl 6 weeks before it happened, because I looked at the Super Bowl before and said they're going to repeat it. And I'm saying they're going to do it again next year and maybe the year after.
Unless we step up. We as enlightened human beings have to step up and stop the cyclical pattern.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Richard, for enlightening us. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, let's take Brian from Boston. Brian, welcome to the program.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to respond to the caller regarding the Altamont Speedway concept. You know, it was heralded as the West Coast Woodstock. And what took place there, a young black gentleman by the name of Meredith Hunter had pulled a gun in front of the stage. And he was stabbed to death by a Hells Angel who were acting as security that day. But many folks believe that he was there to, young black man was there to assassinate Mick Jagger on stage. So I guess you wonder about, you know, was he one to be sacrificed also along with, say, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison, Jimi Hendrix, you know, all these rock and roll leaders of the day? Makes one wonder.
Indeed.
Yep.
Where are your comments?
John Lennon, did we mention John Lennon?
Did we mention who?
John Lennon.
Oh, yes, we haven't mentioned him. I think you better mention him.
You know, I don't know too much about that, but I understand that that he was, you know, the Beatles, what do Beatles do? Well, they get in the cornfield and eat up all the, ruin all the cornfield. And so that's what the Beatles were sent forward. They sort of started that whole rock generation. And I think Lennon just knew too much, and then his time came up.
Indeed. Yes, because he was talking about peace, and people were going to listen to him. And then you also have to bring in Pat Tillman. People would listen to Pat Tillman, especially a bunch of football enthusiasts who would definitely give him full attention. And so they had to take him out. They had to kill him. They had to assassinate him. Your thoughts on that?
I agree. Also, I'm saying this murder of these babies in Connecticut was a government exercise, anyway.
Well, certainly, whether there was anybody killed or not, they use every single, they exploit every single incident. And of course, since that occurrence, they have certainly been, there's been a lot more killings. But I think we also need to look at an even bigger sacrifice of 57 million infants who have been sacrificed in something called freedom of choice. Since 1973, and the same group of people are behind that.
I don't think I'll comment. Go ahead.
Well, that's just my views on it.
You know, one thing I want to mention also is at the Beyonce, when she sang at the inauguration, brought her own music. She did not sing with the military band. If she had sung the Star Spangled Banner with the military band, that would have had a negative effect upon their satanic ritual. That may have drawn away from it to sing with the military band. So she brought her own music, and she was accused of lip-syncing as if it was something. But they made a great, huge promotion out of that. That became a big advertisement to watch the Super Bowl show. And it was very interesting how she strutted to the camera singing the Star Spangled Banner. And she had to be mic'd, of course, all the way back from wherever she strutted. So it was all a big show. But
oh, everything. Everything on TV is a big show.
She had to bring her own music to that inauguration. She couldn't use a military band.
Right. All right, Brian, are you still with us? Nope. Okay, he dropped. All right, if you'd like to call in and make a comment or ask a question, do that. You can call in at 800-313-9443. Okay, what about, who else has died? You know, when you start thinking about famous people who have died, you think of Marilyn Monroe, you think of other people. And I haven't looked up when she died, the date of her death, but she was certainly murdered. It was by in conjunction with her housekeeper and her Jewish psychiatrist, and they did not call the police for something like 6 hours.
One thing I think that's very, very, very significant about Marilyn Monroe, and I think you and I talked about this before, and you weren't aware of it because I was telling you something about I forgot his name, but a big movie star. These stars are used as in sexual bait to trap political figures and judges.
Oh, yes.
And I think Marilyn Monroe was used that way. Errol Flynn was the one I think you and I talked about one time. And these stars are used to trap these political in a sexual kind of a thing, and then they're photographed and that sort of thing. And I think Marilyn Monroe knew too much. Now, what was happening to Marilyn was she was the kind of star that required a physical youth to make her popularity. She wasn't necessarily a great actress. She was more of a sex symbol. And so she was growing older. Well, the studio was degrading the quality of her movies, using less technicians, using less story writers and all that, and she felt that very strongly, that she was being put down by the studios. And I think Marilyn Monroe was threatening the studios that she could go public as a famous person with this inside information about all the dirty things that were going on. And I think that started her towards being eliminated. And then they thought, well, let's tie this up with Kennedy. So then they had her go sing the birthday song at one of the Kennedy events, and then they made a big story out of that. And if you read that whole, Hirsch, I think, is the writer that wrote up this whole thing.
It's all speculation.
There's absolutely, in my mind, there's no connection between Marilyn Monroe and President Kennedy, other than she admired President Kennedy, and she did a song. A happy birthday, Mr. President song that she did. I don't think there was any connection, but I think that was all an attack on Kennedy's reputation after he had been murdered.
Indeed.
So, yeah, Marilyn Monroe is a case example.
Right.
And in the Whitney Houston situation, we can look at the sports aspect of it. It was the New York Giants against the New England Patriots in that game. Because I know you're not, you don't bother to watch those charades. But the New York Giant Wall Street demonstration, money industry giants were playing against the all-American, Constitution-loving New England Patriots, kind of symbols. That's what I'm talking more symbolically.
Right.
And so the Giants were to win, and they won by 2 points, I believe. And how did they get those 2 points?
Now, aren't the some documents regarding JFK, aren't they supposed to be released sometime soon?
I just heard that there were some just released, though there was a sale of some of the memorabilia. Yeah, 50 years after the assassination, they're supposed to be released.
Okay.
And, but the most startling thing about that is that there's a picture in the Warren Commission that shows that when he was assassinated, his motorcycle patrol is supposed to be riding beside him, is riding 10 yards.
They backed away. I mean, it was very interesting. And, of course, depends on whose film you're watching.
Yeah, and all his Secret Service agents are back on the limousine. Nobody's on his limousine.
But you have to figure out, okay, was that the Zapruder film? But, hey, we do have another caller. Let's take a quick caller. Jesse in Montana. Jesse, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Good, and you?
Good. I kind of had a question. I guess you could say I kind of just thought of this in my head back when it was happening. But what about Mel Gibson? I always, after he made that movie, The Passion of the Christ, it seemed like everything just went downhill for him. You think he was attacked by him?
Oh, yeah. I think it was after he said what he said when he got arrested for drunk driving, I believe, if he actually was drunk when they picked him up.
Yeah. But, I mean, and, they made him out like he was crazy, and you look at the simple facts, you're in a situation like that and you got all these people sticking their noses in your business. Yeah, I think I would freak out too,
Yeah. Somebody in the chat room just said, well, Dorothy Kilgallen was a reporter who said she was going to blow the lid off the Kennedy assassination case. And she was dead within a very short period of time after she said that.
Absolutely. And Dorothy Kilgallen was an assassination, yes.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with Kennedy, that big speech he did a week before he got shot. I mean, that's just...
Yes. Yes.
Anyway, I just kind of wondered about him. So, I always liked Mel Gibson, and they made him out to be such a bad guy, and it's just too bad,
Indeed.
Yeah, they assassinated his character after they murdered him. That's interesting.
Right.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you for calling in. Appreciate it.
Have a great one.
The Mel Gibson movie, to me, I wonder if that wasn't a kind of a setup, and if it was, rather than a good guy coming forward to do something good, it was kind of a setup to, in order to put him down. I'm not sure, but I have a little bit of a question about it. I know that the fact that the movie, did you know that the movie was all in Arabic?
I didn't go to see that movie. I don't watch a lot of movies.
It was the whole thing was in Arabic. Aramaic is the language, I guess. Aramaic. It was all the language of the Aramaic with the English subtitles.
Yes.
Interesting. Strange. I don't know if that was
It's also interesting. I mentioned the Zapruder film, and somebody said yes, the Jewish man Zapruder was there to film the event. Does that bring to mind the five dancing Israelis? Hey, we'll be right back.
Do you know who Zapruder was?
Yes. All right, we'll be right back. Got to go to a break. Welcome back. Our guest today has been Larry Engel, and his websites are gorillamedia.co.nz and LincolnAmendment.net. And somebody emailed me and said, I think you have to, this is kind of a general question. How many humans does your guest believe are sacrificed each year? And of course, I think you have to qualify that. Well, do you mean through people who die by giving their, by being an organ donor? Do you mean by people who are slaughtered in the womb? Do you mean by people who are shot in the park, or do you mean, you have to qualify that. But would you like to address that?
No, I don't think I can. I don't think I have the truthful information on it.
Right.
Well, I raised a question before we went to break that if you knew who Zagruder was.
He was Jewish.
Well, Zagruder owned the building across the street from the Texas School Book Depository. I think it's called the Tex-Mex Building or something like that, or the Doll-Mex or Doll-Tex or something building like that. He owns a building.
And he just happened to take his camera that day, his movie camera?
Yeah, right. He just happened to take his camera that day. And there's another a document that I saw that said that the Kennedy people had planned the parade route.
It was one person that planned the parade route.
Yeah, one person had planned the parade route. And then the Jewish members of the City Council of Dallas changed the parade route to the murder scene.
Interesting. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And it had to have that curve in the road so that the whole procession would slow down so that they could get a good shot, and also so that the logistics were all set up so that they could hide the shooters and everything.
Yep. Yeah, it had to be set up ahead of time.
Yeah. Well, this has certainly been interesting, to say the least.
Yeah. And the four elements I used to predict, it's just like it's a historic thing. I'm not a fortune teller, or I'm not psychic or anything like that. I just
you don't have a crystal ball?
No, I haven't got one of those. I'd like to have one. I might play with my dog and maybe fetch it. But I just looked at that last year's Super Bowl, and of course I didn't think Whitney Houston had died by accident. I thought it was a murder, and as I got into it deeper, it seemed to prove that out. And then I was able to look at this whole event and say that this make the prediction of the four things that are going to happen in the future at the Super Bowls. And of course, your caller mentioned, but we could intercede. So we could intercede, and that could change that. But otherwise, I could see the same thing happening, the same four things happening the next year and the year after.
Well, we're certainly going to hold you to that, and we'll have to keep those four things in mind. But it certainly seems like you have something here to think about when you put it all together.
But the real shocking thing is that the inauguration of the President of the United States becomes part of a satanic ritual, and the First Lady attends the funeral.
Yeah, too bizarre, even for them.
Yes.
All righty. Thank you so much, Larry, for being on the program today. We've run out of time. Thank you. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye-bye, Larry.